junior high, you can go over to the front of the church for class. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Tony. I serve in the toddler room with my wife and two kids. And if I'm up here, that means pretty much everyone else is out of town. So just bear with me. Okay, so Pastor Dave asked me a couple weeks ago if I would share tonight, and I told him I'd pray about it. And well, actually, the first thing I said to him was, "Are you out of your mind?" I actually, when he said share, I thought I was going to help pass out communion. But I wanted to say no, but I was haunted by this quote that I have on a whiteboard in my home. It's for my daughters. I tell them all the time. It's a Jordan Peterson quote. It's be comfortable being uncomfortable. Right now, I'm quite uncomfortable. But my wife and I like to encourage them to get out of their comfort zone to grow, whether it's emotionally, you know, starting a new job, singing before the school, or physically pushing themselves at the gym, or extra practice on the soccer field. But I feel it's also can be applied to the spiritual. I think as Christians, it's easy for us to get a little complacent, a little comfortable, and it's something I've definitely experienced. Therefore, I'm challenging myself, all of us, to leave here tonight and go out into this world and become comfortable being uncomfortable for Jesus. All right, let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful night. Thank you for the freedom to share your word. We do ask that you bless our pastor and leadership coming home tonight. Pray for safe travels. And just bless this word. Let your spirit come through my mouth. In your name we pray. So we're going to be in Luke 12. I'm actually going to be reading from the New King James. And if you want, if you would, maybe put a bookmark in Psalm 77. So Luke 12 and verse 22. Then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? In which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, one in every five adults had an anxiety disorder just last year. One in three will have an anxiety disorder in their lifetime. And in the past 3 years, 6 million of our school-age children have had anxiety disorders. And this doesn't count the unreported cases. So before we're going to tearing up Luke 12, we're gonna go into Psalm 77. Asaph, he was basically a worship leader to King David. In it he writes, "I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? So Asaph here, he mentions I or my about 20 times. He's consumed about with his circumstances. He was in great despair. Whether it's a sick loved one, an unsaved family member, loss of a job, an addiction, you know, we can feel this way as well. The last time I felt this way was, I don't know, maybe a year and a half or so ago. So when the president announced the federal mandate that all federal workers be vaccinated, I'm a mailman of almost 30 years. My wife and I had decided for our family we weren't going to get the vaccine. So I'm looking at losing my job, 30 years in, no benefits, huge chunk of my retirement, and it consumed me. All I could think about, read about was this. I got on Twitter to get the latest news, and it just consumed my thoughts. I wasn't sleeping. When I did sleep, I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking about this. I know I should have cast my cares unto the Lord, but I wasn't seeking him properly. I was in the word, but it was going in, it was going out. My prayer life was weak at best. Then finally, before they overturned it, I stumbled upon these verses in Luke, a few other that just really spoke to me. I got off Twitter and just started digging into the word a little more. And speaking of social media, it's just, I think it's raising the tension, the anxiety of us as a nation. And as Christians, I think we can get caught up in it. I mean, our brains are receiving so much news wherever we are. It's on TV. It's, you know, constantly on our phones. We're filling up our gas tank, and there's 3 to 4 news clips right there as we're filling up. So I think we just need to put those phones down, turn the TV off, and open our Bibles and start praying. In full disclosure, the Lord gave me this portion to share on anxiety, doubt, and the last couple of weeks, the enemy had me just entirely filled with doubt to the point where I was like, I shouldn't be doing this. And part of me right now is thinking maybe he was right. But we'll go back to Luke 12. We're actually going to rewind to verse 16 to get a little bit more context. So then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So back in our verses, then he said to his disciples, therefore, based on this parable, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Our bodies are dying. They're going to decay, they'll be gone, and we will be forgotten. Besides, it's the inner man is where the true happiness is. It's not our possessions or our circumstances. Joy is found in the mind, in the heart, and in the soul. Charles Spurgeon said, all the water in the sea will not hurt your vessel, so long as you keep it outside. The danger begins when it gets inside the ship. So it matters little what is outside you if all is right within. In verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So Jesus says to consider. He wants us to think about the ravens. He could have said birds here. Could have just said birds, but he said ravens. So when he does that, I kind of like to look into it a little bit more. So ravens, they're just nasty, disgusting animals that feast on roadkill. You know, the Jews of the day considered them an unclean bird. But a little fact about them, baby ravens need to eat every 2 to 3 hours, and they must eat 50% their body weight every day. So despite needing all that, the Lord still provided. Verse 25, and which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If then you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? We can't add a single moment to our lives by worrying. In fact, by Jesus telling us not to worry, it's not just to focus on the spiritual. It's actually for the physical as well, our physical health. When we're stressed, adrenaline and cortisol just gets released into your central nervous system. This can lead to high blood pressure, heart disease, digestive issues, respiratory issues, and continued anxiety weakens our immune system, causes insomnia, depression, and shortens our life. Worrying is useless and counterproductive, and most importantly, it shows a lack of faith in God's plan for our lives. In Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. To commit our way to the Lord means to roll our burdens upon him through prayer. He shall bring it to pass means if we do our part, he'll do his. Verse 27, consider the lilies. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Again, Jesus doesn't say flower. He uses lilies. There's over 100 different species of lilies, and they're actually able to grow pretty much on their own without much help from man. They're used for medicinal purposes, like soothing coughs, sore throats, for sleeping, lung health, heart health. Lilies also are known to be toxic and sometimes deadly to cats. So if you're a cat owner, plant a lot of them. I don't know what it is. We hate cats at this church. I picture the devil having a pet cat. You know, I don't know. Another fascinating thing about the lily has a weighted bulb as a root. And this keeps it from being, it keeps it anchored to the soil. So when it's being tossed around and pummeled in a storm, you know, it will spring right back up because it's got that weighted, anchored soil. So just as us, if we're rooted in the Word and our faith is firmly anchored in Jesus Christ, we'll be the same way. In verse 28, Jesus says, if then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. There's so much anxiety in the world today and tension, like I said. We mentioned some examples of them, but we did neglect a certain group that probably experiences more angst on a daily basis than we can imagine. And that's our high school kids, our college students. I mean, 10 years ago, if you were a high school student who loved Jesus, you were maybe that weird born-again Christian, and you know, you still fit in. Today, if you love Jesus, it's like you're a hateful bigot. Public schools today, and please don't yell at me afterwards, but for the most part, not all of them, not all teachers, but what's going through them today, it's just evil. And evil lies. Evil's going to tell you you're not killing a baby. Evil's going to say men can get pregnant. Evil's going to say a girl can be a boy or a cat or a non-binary cross-dressing armadillo, whatever. Excuse me. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to just read a couple of verses from Daniel 3. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to fall down and worship the gold image, the false god. In verse 16, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So these three men, they were most likely teenagers. They could have bent that knee, saved themselves from dying to fit in. But they had faith in God that he would deliver them. And if God chose not to, they were okay, because they deemed it right to suffer instead of sin against him. So when you're at school, whether it be high school, middle school, college, we're praying for every day that you stand in faith in the fire as well. The evil today, this Antichrist culture, is so aggressive, it does not rest. And as Christians, I think we can be overly passive. I'm not suggesting you get in anyone's face, mock them because they think they're a different sex or an animal. These kids have been seriously misled, and frankly, they're mentally ill. We should look on them with the compassion of Jesus, and we should be praying for them. And I was thinking about the compassion of Jesus. Compassion. You know, you feel bad for him. You know, you have sympathy. But there is an alternative definition to the word, and that's to enter into suffering with. And it's my feeling that that's the kind of compassion Jesus had. I think when he saw Peter, when he was going to the cross and Peter's eyes caught his, had just denied him three times. The woman at the well, I think of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery and just thrown in front in her sin, just disgraced, and Jesus looked on her with compassion. He entered into that emotional suffering with her, knowing that soon he'd be suffering physically for that very sin. And it just blows my mind, the love of him. And we're going to see a lot of things and just crazy evil things, and it's so easy as Christians to be jaded and to just ignore it or make fun of it, but we got to seek to have the compassion of Christ. So what I'm saying to you students is, you know, don't start anything, but if you're forced into a difficult situation, don't stay quiet. Be a truth teller. When we stay silent and people around us who are looking to us, even though we may not realize it, it's like if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just fell down and worshiped just to fit in or not cause trouble. The students around you, too, I mean, you never realize who's listening, who's watching. They're going to get influenced by your strength, by your faith, and by your love of Jesus. And we're all going to stand in that fire at some point. But as long as we're standing in truth and we bring Christ into our crisis, he will bring it to pass. Remember, the silversmith, when he creates fine silver, he burns it and refines it, removing the dross. And he will not remove it from the fire until the Creator sees his reflection in the piece. We'll go back to Luke 12, verse 30. For all these things the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. So our Father does know, he knows what we need, not our wants, our needs. And he doesn't want us dwelling over any mundane things. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If we are seeking the kingdom, God's kingdom, of which he really wants us to have, he promises to provide. Our earthly kingdom should always take a back seat. We got to ask ourselves, maybe we're in this storm because Jesus is seeking to have us put him first, trying to reach us. So what are we spending most of our time, our thoughts, what are we spending them on? Are we putting Jesus first? We can't have two masters. And in Mark 8:36, Jesus asks, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So if you're here tonight on a Wednesday, I'm assuming pretty much everyone has accepted Jesus into their hearts as their Lord and Savior. So let's just make sure we're in the Word regularly. Like Pastor Dave, I encourage you to read early and then maybe revisit it during the day so it sinks in. I know me being a little older, that's how I have to do it. Cultivate that personal relationship with Him. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we should be sharing the gospel with others. And Jesus deserves our thankfulness and our praise in good times, and just as importantly, in bad times. And now we're going to go back to Psalms 77 in verse 10. So now Asaph, after all that despair, that anguish, just all the circumstances, just putting everything, thinking of him, he decides to now put his attention, instead of his anguish, he turns it to God and God's greatness. Verse 10, he says, "But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds. Your way, O God, is the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Joseph and Jacob." In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were imprisoned and shackled. You don't have to turn there. So, I mean, Paul was constantly in trials. So they're in prison, they're shackled up. He's praying, they're praying and singing hymns, and all the prisoners were listening. So now an earthquake hits the prison, most of you know the story, and all the shackles were loose. The prison guard was about to kill himself, thinking all the prisoners escaped. And then Paul cried out, "We're here, we're all here." So the two of them were praising God during this time. Others, we don't know that anyone else was saved. They're there. They're influenced by it. They get freed, but they stay because this God was just so intriguing to them. So the jailer just went up to them, just could not believe it. What must I do to be saved? So then Paul tells him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved." So whether we're Paul and Silas imprisoned, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in a fire. If we lose a job, if we lose a loved one, if we get that cancer diagnosis, let's pursue Jesus and seek his kingdom and allow him to free us from our doubts, our fears, and our worries. And hopefully we'll see him use us to add to his kingdom as well. In verse 33, Jesus says, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys." So Jesus isn't saying, he's talking about the rich fool. He's still referencing that. He's not telling us to just give everything away and live like the birds and let him provide. And he's not saying it's bad to be rich. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6:17-19, it says, "Command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty or to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." So we're called to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with, but to hold on loosely of these worldly riches while grabbing tightly onto Jesus and the heavenly riches. And in verse 34, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." As we continue through life, through school, work, supporting our families, saving for retirement, let's make sure we're on the clock for Jesus. Not just on Sundays or Wednesdays for a couple hours. Let's make sure we're putting in some hard-nosed overtime, investing all of it in our eternal retirement. Jesus is a just boss, and he will not withhold any pay. Let's be rich towards him. Winston Churchill has a quote that I always liked. "If you're going through hell, keep going." But I was thinking more about, it's like, well, all right, well, where are you going after that? You know, it's, where's, what's the destination? So it's like, if the destination isn't Jesus Christ, you might as well just stop moving. So, the worship team, you can come up. So when I'm experiencing anxiety, I like to think about Jesus calling Peter from the boat onto the water. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, much like Peter, we're going to begin to sink. We're going to begin to drown in our fears, our doubts, in our worries. So let's keep moving closer to Jesus so we can rise above and walk on top of what frightens us. Jesus, we thank you for this word. We just ask you to bless this night. We pray your spirit just flows through this place and through everyone here tonight. And if anyone doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they seek to accept you into their heart. Again, we ask you to pray. We ask you to bless and bring safe travels to our leadership. And it's in your great name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.